Hey, Spittin' Chiclets listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. When did cheap plastic disposables with 90s-style graffiti art become the norm? No offense if gaudy pastel is your style, but the Flonk Max Smart embodies a smarter way to vape. The Flonk is sleek and discreet, and the most popular flavors are available nicotine-free and in 2% and 5% strength. A flexible disposable with a smart LED screen, the Flonk churns out 10,000 dense and delicious puffs. Visit MyPod.com and use promo code STOOL for 25% off Flonk vapes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 273 of Spittin' Chiclets, presented by Pink Whitney from our friends over at New Amsterdam Vodka here in the Barstool Sports podcast family. We're coming back on a regular episode. We'll be talking about last week's in a minute, but let's get reacquainted with the fellas, our producer, Mikey Grinnelli first. You've been rollerblading all over Manhattan lately.
Yeah, just actually rollerblading all over the tri-state area, just trying to do my part and telling people to get up off their ass and get out on their blades and join a quick blade gang. And but this pod's not about me. It's about you guys. Ryan, you look handsome as hell. It looks like you got a haircut, so I'll let you kick it over to him.
Let's go all G this episode. Let's shut off our mics, Whip.
I actually, I'm not like giving you the credit. I'm definitely not thinking this was all you, but I have seen an insane amount of rollerbladers lately. It is on fire. And now I know you're just getting into this thing, and maybe you do have a lot of followers and people who listen to you, but it's making me want to get a pair of blades. But my ankles, I couldn't do it. You can't even get blades punched out. That's why I wore those old skates. We'll get into that picture. But
all right,
it's nice to talk to you guys.
He should have the ones with two in front, two in the back,
double blades.
The rollerblades though. What do you call those?
When I go rollerblading, my Dixie comes.
Roller skates? Are you serious?
Roller
right
skates.
Now?
Okay. Yeah.
Oh. What do you call those?
You meant like double wheels.
Just the things that they are.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they call them roller blades now. Those were roller skates.
Now, roller skate, that was huge. It was like a huge thing back in the 70s, man. Everybody was roller skating. Like
Biz, that is how I played in the rocking chair.
In your leisure suit,
on that,
right?
On that one try. That one track.
dude, but here's the craziest thing. That leisure suit, right? I gave it to my friend David Burns. He was on the Real World Seattle back when Real World was huge. I text them here and there. I watched that movie, 10 Things I Hate About You. It was on Disney Plus. It was huge in the 90s. I just never saw it, so I watched it. And lo and behold, the girl in the movie is watching fucking The Real World on the TV. And my buddy Burns, he pops up. I was like, holy fuck, I just never seen the movie. So I texted him, like, you son of a bitch, you were in this movie. He's like, oh, yeah, dude, I still get residuals for it, like 20 years later.
Ooh.
And funny enough, we ended
Wait,
up.
Wait, checks?
How old are you? How old are you?
Checks or pussy?
No, checks, dude. Every time that movie plays, he gets. I mean, that's a fair question.
What made you randomly think you're going to watch like 10 Things I Hate About You?
Because it was a kind of a well-renowned teen movie from the 90s, and it starred Heath Ledger, who's a tremendous actor,
yes.
R.I.P., and it starred Julia Stiles. It got a lot of raves, and I said, well, I have Disney Plus. You throw it on. It was pretty good. It was better than a lot of teen movies.
I watched that movie.
So I see my buddy, and lo and behold, he connected me with another buddy, and I got in touch with another buddy who's so he's currently institutionalized.
You have a lot of buddies, all right?
Dude, it was great.
Buddies,
is this more about you bragging about all your buddies? Or,
no,
and knowing someone on the Real World biz. He's like, I got his autograph. I have an autograph picture. It's unreal.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I lent him my leisure suit biz, and I never got it back. So I love the kid, but he fucking beat me for a leisure suit, dude.
I don't even know how the fuck we got there. We haven't even done the intros yet.
I actually was thinking the same thing. You said leisure suit biz, and then RA just went.
Yeah.
Well, RA, are you on blow right now?
No, dude. Honestly, Death Wish Coffee, our new sponsor, dude.
This is a great advertisement for them. That is cocaine. Yeah. So what a job that this coffee can do after hearing what leisure suit just went into. I respect it.
All right. And then I don't know. I know you guys. I couldn't watch you guys.
I'd like an intro.
All right. And of course, our buddy down in the desert, the dirty desert, who just purchased himself a whole acre of land. Paul Business, the business.
Guys, yeah, I purchased a lot today, but there is a home on it. I will be renting it, but I couldn't be more happy. It's in Paradise Valley, beautiful view of the mountains. So I love Arizona. It's been really good to me. They basically handed me 5 years in the NHL because, you know, I didn't belong. And just the post career, and you know, I love the area. I love the people involved with the organization. And I know we were going to talk about it later, RA. But if you're willing to skip to it right now, please. Yeah, go ahead.
Congratulations, that's awesome. You deserve all the success you have. And let me tell you, I try to buy up as much property as I can because they're not making more of that. Biz.
No.
You
no,
know
we're
what
not
I
making
mean?
More land.
There, you know, there isn't more dirt. There's no more dirt being made on this planet. So you're going to rent that thing out, make money on pay the mortgage, still make some money, and then you're just growing the biz empire. I'm happy to see it.
I might do like a Breaking Bad, start making meth out of it or something, just for some extra income.
Dude, there's nothing worse than looking at your mortgage after like 3 years, how much you paid and what you still owe. It's like the fucking mafia doesn't even charge these rates, but who else is going to give you $500,000, you know?
I don't know, RA. You went into the drug talk and we're back to the Death Wish coffee. Holy shit, dude. He's sniffing coffee lines off the table while we're recording right now.
Where's the grinder? All right, no, Biz, you mentioned Arizona and the Coyotes. Xavier Gutierrez, pardon me, became the first ever Latino team president and CEO of an NHL team. Congrats to him. Owner Alex Maruelo was the first Latino to own an NHL team. And he had a little meeting the other day with "Sure as shit" written on his T-shirt. And he said it on the little thing he did, which is you don't usually hear that from an owner. But if I'm a fan, I think that's awesome for my owner to come out and say.
Oh, he's fired up. He had a tight shirt on too, flexing his muscles on the rest of the league. Love it going into this 2014 playoff. But it's cool. Like we need to expand the horizon here. You know, I think that there's a big demographic of fan that could still be tapped here, and I'm very confident in the growth of this organization. And I know some people will be swearing at the Rick from Red Deer probably ain't listening right now. He turned the volume down, but I don't give a shit. So a great hire, congratulations to him, and a step in the right direction.
Also, two big news: the Coyotes are bringing the Kachina jersey back for the playoffs. That's big news, man. It's kind of funny to me because people hated that when they dropped it, and in the last 20 years, it's become wildly popular. But that'll be cool to see.
We don't even need to play the playoff; just put their names on the cup now. Kachina jersey, new president, owner flexing on the rest of the league.
Who do they have in the play-in? Who do they have?
Nashville.
That's gonna be scary. Nashville's gonna whoop them.
Pardon? Listen, there's a history
I'm
there.
I'm going to hammer Nashville in that series.
There's a history there. The year we went to the conference finals, we ended up spanking them 4-1. So I think history is going to repeat itself. But I'm excited, RA. Is there any more news on Phase 2?
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Rear Admiral, and Biz, you mentioned the return to play. Phase 2 did indeed start. Players can work out at team facilities in small groups. It's voluntary. A lot of process involved, testing and whatnot, but, you know, it's another step towards playing.
I'll take this one first. Okay, so there was an article that just came out. Anton Strahlman, you know, he was just talking about, you know, I don't know how many guys are exactly thrilled that this process is being taken in order to potentially have a season. He talked about maybe some guys' feelings on safety, some guys' feeling on the fact that it might be hard on their bodies in order to get them back going on time to produce the level of quality that fans are used to seeing, the fact that European players have to come across, and maybe after even doing a 14-day quarantine period, that it won't even end up following through in this proceeding into Phase 3. But I think it's fair from a fan standpoint. We've been very optimistic about this. Well, at least I have. But if the consensus is a lot of the players don't feel that the season should be played out and maybe their health is at risk, and or, you know, is it really worth it to to obtain the, you know, the 1.1 billion or whatever is lost revenue. I mean, I got to side with the players on this. I mean, I would imagine at some point, if they haven't already had it, that majority rules as far as whether they're going to kick it back up. Correct, RA?
Yeah, the players still have to like agree to everything. I mean, you know, they still have to hammer out all the testing and where they're staying, and you know, they're, I'm sure they're doing working on that stuff every day. But there's still ways to go.
Do you remember what I said when all this began? And then, oh no, not all this began, but when you started talking about hockey returning, what I said was that if it went on long enough, and you're talking about end of July, guys are not going to want to come back. There's no, the season feels over. It's just, it's so hard to get going again. And Biz, you can't tell me you wouldn't be a little, I'd have a little anxiety, like all of a sudden you're going back to training camp, but you've had time off. And I mean, who knows how guys have been living? I'm sure that for the most part, guys have been continuing to work out and really stay fit, but it's just a weird, weird thought to all of a sudden pick it back up again for like the playoffs and these weird playing, you know, positions. I could see most players not really wanting to play. And I know you go into the money and what they could lose, but that's my opinion. I would be like, holy shit, this season feels over.
And I'm not trying to be summer. I'm not trying to be negative about it. I'm just saying is if the consensus is between the players.
I think I was being negative about it.
From the fan standpoint, I can understand it because a lot of people, you know, watching hockey is part of their livelihood, and the fact that not only was that stripped from them, but now given that the fact that there's nothing a lot going on socially, they want it now more than ever. So I'd have to side with the fact that, you know, if these guys aren't down to do it, then don't do it. Cause I mean, I was talking to a few of them, you know, 6 to 8 of them showing up to the rink, having to go through the whole process, wearing a mask around during the workouts. It just seems like, you remember when you talked about coming back from injuries and just like the process and how mentally draining it was? I'd be curious to know, you know, how many of these guys, like after having to go through this routine for months on end, would be like, oh,
and you don't even know, and you don't even know, you still don't know when things had come back. So
yeah,
the whole thought of doing stuff with the unknown, when you're training for training camp in the summer into the fall, you have a date in mind. Right now, it's just, it's hard to picture it get going, but let's hope it happens.
Yeah, we're not going to be negative Nancy's.
Hey, I'm not apologizing for giving my opinion on how I'd be feeling as a player and how some players are definitely feeling. That's not negative Nancy. That's real life witty.
Yeah.
Or I mean, negative real life Larry. RA's haircut right now if we didn't have
Yeah, wise guy. I wrote the thing when Bretman come out with the whole plan. I'm like, you know, hockey ain't back yet. And I wasn't being a negative Nancy, but like Dubnyk said, we're going to find out how the players feel, because he said it's probably going to be an all-player vote. And that's kind of rare, because usually the team reps talk to the team and then, you know, each team gets a vote. He said, but this is bigger. We're probably going to call for a player vote. So
people listening are probably like, dude, make up your mind. You're so positive the last two or however many podcasts before this, but you're seeing the emotions of an NHL fan right now. This is what we're going through together, and I'm willing to hold your hand, and you're going to come through with it too.
That's not saying I don't want it back.
Exactly.
You got to be a realist in life.
No, we can move on.
If you don't understand, listeners, Biz is bringing up the listeners. You're morons driving in your car right now. I can't figure out what we're saying here.
This is a little bit more of a fun topic related to return to play. The playoff format, all series are going to be best of 7 except the qualifying round, which will be a best of 5. They're going to be reseeded after each round, so there's no brackets. And like I said during our AMA the other night, Biz, nobody puts an asterisk on the 95 Devils and certainly not the 13 Blackhawks. So whoever wins this cup, they're still going to need to win 16 games. It's going to be good enough for me. So the talk of an asterisk this season is foolish.
Wouldn't even know how to say that word.
I know. I'm not going to know who says it. Right.
Try to spell it. Try to spell it.
Yeah, right.
No, just try. Seriously.
Asterix?
Yep. Asterix.
Can you say it properly so I know how to at least try to spell it properly?
Yeah. RA thinks that in no way, shape, or form will this year's Stanley Cup, a.k.a. the Corona Cup winner, have an asterisk named next to their team name in the hockey history books.
Asterisk is...
You want me to say it correct, Biz?
I kind of got it. Good enough
for
me.
How did I mess that up?
It's asterisk, not asterisk.
Oh, thank you, RA. Thank you.
I knew I might have been messing up the pronunciation.
Four
of
and a half
word.
Years now.
Asterisk. Asterisk?
Asterisk.
Asterisk.
Oh.
Aster would be A-S-T-O-R... I-S-K, Aster Risk.
No, I think you're out of the scripts. I would spell and be.
Aster Risk.
Aster with an E, not an O. But you were close because right. Aster is often spelled
good
with an
enough
o.
for me.
So I guess I was the most incorrect one in that whole scheme after trying to tee you up. So,
the comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Killer transition, killer stuff.
Thank you.
I'm sure Senators fans would probably love a Bud Light Seltzer or five right now after what they've been reading about their owner once again. Eugene Melnyk, some weird shit going on with him and the Senators Foundation money. He started the Organ Project, like a private nonprofit, back in 2016, the goal of helping organ transplant because he got a liver transplant. It gained close to $1 million, and they only contributed 5,000 of it to the organ donation awareness. Like a lot of this money, I mean, there's a lot of charities out there. So, in the meantime, the Senators Foundation, which handles all the money that they get from charities, they're the team's charitable arm. They're actually leaving. They're announcing their severing ties with the club last week. This is just such a bad look because the Bruins Foundation, they do great stuff. They're part of the Bruins organization. So for the charity wing to leave, something shady, and then the fans went and actually raised and donated more money in one day than he did in 4 years. And it's too bad because this is a team with great coach, great players, or great future, really, on the uprise. And it's just the owner, man, it's kind of fucking up a lot with this.
You want this one, Whit?
No, you can take that one, buddy.
Well, the last thing I want to do is come on this podcast and hammer on people, but I can't. This guy can't get out of his own way. I don't know the details exactly to what's going on. Maybe there's some type of reason. Maybe the books were off or something. I don't know. Maybe there's more to come out, but holy fuck, dude. I think the most positive thing we've said about him in the last, 5 years is he was hanging out with Mel Gibson.
I don't even know if that's a positive thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The Senators,
Christ.
I mean, I feel so bad for those fans, and I've been hard on them before, but where the rink is, I mean, no offense, but it just makes it difficult. It's right in the middle of nowhere. Downtown ought to be great, whatever. But then this owner, can you imagine rooting for a team with this clown running the whole entire thing? You see Mets fans complain. Isn't that guy – and Knicks fans. What's that guy's name, R.A.?
John Dolan. James
different,
Dolan.
Different people for the Mets and whatever. The
Wilpons and the Mets.
Dolan. Ugh. You just – I mean, and to have that power and to own that team and just bring down everyone constantly over and over – how do you root for the team? It must make so many fans sick to their stomach where there's probably a point where you just give up and you just hope and pray that this dude sells the team or somehow gets away from your entire favorite thing to do and root for. It sucks.
And from like a psychological standpoint, you have to think at this point he's gotten so much backlash from fans and even people inside the organization that he's probably stubborn now. Where he's out to maybe prove to the media and everyone that he can actually turn this thing around. And I mean, the guy was worth what he was at a certain point. So of course you're going to have that chip and that chip on your shoulder and that ego because you've proven yourself and done it once. So I don't know. I don't know if this guy can turn things around and make things right. But like you said, to the fans, man,
this story isn't over though, correct? Or you got to think more info's coming out on this.
Yeah.
Or do you think that's it?
No, I think people are going to dig because that they raise money
for
charity.
Where did it go? It,
exactly. A lot. I mean, when almost 80-90% of it is spent on overhead, that's not good for a charity. I mean, they get rated by charity for places that take a look at charity where they spend their money, and they tell you these companies keep this much, these companies keep this much, and to spend that much and only give 5,000 in 4 years, and then the fans give 18,000 in a day, that's a tough look. That's a tough look. But
man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
That's all right. Tough dismount. But guys, we got to talk about some hockey. And I think this is going to be fun, positive conversation. But some take it far more seriously. The MVP race, I mentioned it on the Twitch stream the other night, and the Norris race. Because my personal opinion was John Carlson was running away with this thing. And the second half of what was this season, Roman Josi was a machine and getting it done all over the ice. So to me, it seems as if though, at least online, Roman Josi's got the edge right now. We always know about the East Coast bias. That's a thing. And going to the MVP boat, I think a lot more people think Panarin's in this chase than are giving credit for.
Where am I going here, you think, Biz? Where would you rather hear my opinion on, the Norris or the MVP?
Well, I don't know. I was giving you the smorgasbord of debate.
Oh, you were just kind of teeing it up.
Oh, baby, I just want to hear whatever you have to say about either of them.
I don't know how you don't give it to Josi. Just now, like this is more my argument on MVP and Norris. I'll say that quickly is I can't get like heated or that into arguing over the MVP or the Norris, especially when in examples like this year prove you can't, there's no wrong decision, dude. If you give it to Josi, it makes sense. He was the most dominant player on Nashville, who had an up and down season, no doubt. But for a defensive to lead a team that well defensively, PK, every aspect of the game to keep pucks out of his net, and then lead the team in scoring. If he's not, was he when the break came? At one point he was this year. I don't know if it finished up like that, but he has just proven he's the best player on that team. And he's done it so long that sometimes you talk about it took Lidstrom a little while to win his first, and then he wins a bunch, right? They make you wait it out. They make you prove yourself for that award. It seems like over the years, they don't give it out too early. You gotta prove
it. I would agree with that. You gotta
real old school type thing. That's why I never got one. I my ankle went out before I could have got one.
I just think if you're a point a game defenseman, which he's just under as far as Josi's concerned, and you're able to dominate the full ice surface, you're in a different world. And I thought that John Carlson came out of the gate so hot that I thought it was kind of the example we talked about with Ray Whitney on the Q&A the other night, is like Gretzky's first three strides were so quick and then he would just skate the same speed. He'd get that distance on you and then just go. And I think that Josi just kept clawing and clawing, and I would have to give Yo slight edge, and I know John's came on the podcast, and I'm sure he'd be disappointed by our comments, but I just think
Yo did too.
That's true. And as far as the MVP race, people are just saying that the fact that Dreisaitl, and this has no bearing on the fact that Dreisaitl won't do the clone with me, because I would still pick Dreisaitl at this point over Panarin, but people are saying his 5-on-5 numbers are far more impressive, given the fact that Dreisaitl played with the best player in the world for half the season. Dreisaitl did do very good when McDavid went down, so he didn't necessarily need him to succeed. But Panarin was playing with Ryan Strome. And nothing against Ryan Strome, but he ain't the fucking best player in the world. And for him to not only have those superior numbers 5-on-5, and I know people are going to say, well, he was 50, 20 points ahead of him, but man, he was, to me, I can exceed the argument in the fact that he was potentially more valuable to his team. So I saying that, I would still give slight edge to Dreisaitl. What do you think, R.A.?
On the Norris, I think in general, the media tends to vote the highest numbers. We've talked about having an award for a defensive defenseman and have the Norris for like an offensive guy, because it just seems like whoever has the best numbers wins it. And also the funny stats come into play. So as a guy who was sort of, I wasn't a Bruins beat writer when I started, but I was with the team a lot, and it's hard to watch every player in every team. It's impossible. So you can't see every guy. So you have to rely on stats, and people aren't getting the eye test and biases come in. That's why I don't get crazy about it, because there are a lot of people voting on these things that don't see enough where they're, you know, to make up, well, they're making a vote, but it's like, you didn't see a lot of this guy play. You're going on what you're reading more than what you're seeing. But yeah, Dreisaitl, I think he's going to win the hot because of the numbers. I mean, was he the best player on the ice this year? No, I mean, Panarin was unreal, and I'm not a huge fancy stats guy, so I'm not going to, you know, you could say Bergeron was an MVP based on his play without his numbers, just based on his defensive play. But I think it's just going to be Draisaitl because the media, the voters just take the numbers, man. I think someone asked the other day, had a great question. Should the referee vote on whatever award? I said, you know what? The ref shouldn't vote on any awards, but they're probably the most qualified to vote on the awards.
Yeah, that's a fair answer.
So, I don't know if you guys saw, I probably got about 100 tweets at me, legit, when I'm not lying. The Flyers alumni was seeking the kid who finagled his way into the handshake line after the 74 Cup. Everyone's like, is that you, RA? And this guy's got to be in his mid-60s if he's still with us at this point. I don't think they found them yet, but yeah, kudos to that guy. Plus, I would have been on the other side, man. I wouldn't shake my Bruins losing.
How old was he at the time, 13?
He had to be somewhere. He could have been 13. He could have been 18. So, I mean.
Yeah, he's from Philly. He's probably shit-faced. Doesn't even remember being there. How are they going to find him?
Oh, shit. A couple other notes here. Play-by-play man Chris Cuthbert, very popular announcer up in Canada. He moved from TSN to Rogers SN, and he'll be back doing Hockey Night in Canada. 36 years as an announcer. Also did CFL. He's one of those guys in America you don't hear all the time. You get him on a lot of the Western games. He's a very good play caller.
I think he's one of the best, RA.
Absolutely, man.
He can call a game.
Absolutely. We should also mention, we're not bringing on quite yet, a few more notes to get to, but we're bringing on Jordan Martinook, of the Carolina Hurricanes forward. Dude, he was awesome. I can't wait to drop that in a little bit. Biz, you enjoyed that one.
Yeah, I was just noticing that fucking Death Wish coffee was kicking in there. You're like,
dude, the DEA is going to have to start like a department for the Death Wish coffee addicts.
Like Adderall, dude. Super focused.
Yeah.
Vegas unveiled the name and logo for their minor league team, the Henderson Silver Knights. Like we talked about in the AMA biz, it's clutch having an AHL team right down the street. It's 20 minutes away. They'll be sold out all the time because the tickets start at $10. It's not on the strip. It's off
that
strip.
That fucking division in the AHL. Those old school guys, I mean, even you, Witt, the 4-4s of Albany and shit. They got Ontario, California, which I think they're living in El Segundo now. So, like, they're right by the beach. You got San Diego. You got Palm Springs. You got Henderson, which is just outside of Vegas. They'll be hitting the strips for half off bottles. Where else? Stockton, San Jose, and Bakersfield. I mean, that is spoiled brats.
I think we just – it might have been Chicklets Cup, but we did recently discuss this. It's no joke, man. I mean, you're laughing.
And
the travel suck. I bet you the travel's going to suck, though. You got to fly. Actually, will they fly everywhere?
You know what I forgot to mention? Tucson. And I just think that given that – The Golden Knights are selling out every game. And there were a couple stories that came out about fans getting bumped out of their seats. Did you remember reading that, RA? Just because they'd locked in at cheaper ticket prices and all of a sudden it popped off. And I don't want to be starting rumors here. But anyway, but for the hockey fans that aren't able to get their hands on tickets, another good ticket across the street in Henderson.
No doubt about that, man. It's good quality hockey for a cheap price because, hey, Vegas, I mean, you go there. You got to pay strip prices to see that team play. And I mean, hey, I'll gladly do it when I'm out there, but it's a nice cheap alternative to guys who are going to make the big club eventually. Also, Alabama Huntsville college team, they saved their team via a fundraiser. It's been a great program for years. They've produced some NHL players in an unlikely location. I remember the first time I heard it, I thought it was a misprint. Whit, did you ever play against Alabama Huntsville when you were at BU?
Nope, never did. But always, or the first time, same here. I was like, what? There's a team down there? I thought this was pretty cool. I mean, I saw it near the end, or it had been going on a little bit when I first saw word that they were trying to raise a ton. I actually remember thinking, wow, I don't know if they're going to be able to get that much. I thought it was 500 grand that they had to raise.
Yeah, that's
and,
it was.
And that, I was like, holy shit, are they going to do it? I know Buchagross helped. Mikey, I believe you sent out a tweet from Chicklets. Did you for that Alabama Huntsville thing?
Yes, we did.
I blogged about it too.
Nice job. Sorry about that. I missed that blog, but still, that just shows that you get a bunch of people together and you realize that there's a program there that kids, it means so much to, and they've got a little history. Like you said, Ari, I don't know if you can list the NHLers from there. A couple
Cam
goals.
Cam Talbot helped out big time. And that Sheldon Walensky, he lives in Aspen now. He's the one who threw 10 grand in for the ECHL Player Relief Fund out of nowhere. He went there. So he was helping them out too. So this guy's got his, he understands what it's like to have a time in need, and way to step up, boys. That was very cool.
Yeah, it was good to see. Good to see. Obviously, want to talk about last week's episode. We want to just thank everybody for the tremendous support. You know, that was probably the first episode all three of us were anxious for, given the climate and you know, what we were going to bring to everybody. And the response was so overwhelmingly positive. It was actually made me hopeful a little bit. And then people who were idiots were getting shouted down by our other listeners. So we just want to thank everybody for the support there. And on that note, we're going to keep tabs on this stuff because it's important. And on Monday, the Hockey Diversity Alliance was started by 7 current and former Black NHLers. It's independent of the NHL. Their mission is to, quote, eradicate racism and intolerance in hockey, end quote. The group appointed Evander Kane and Akeem Aliyu as the co-heads of the organization. The group's executive committee are going to be Trevor Daly, Matt Dumba, Wayne Simmons, Chris Stewart, and former NHL forward Joel Ward. And what's interesting is the alliance was announced just a few days after the Greater Toronto Hockey League, which basically is all the youth hockey in Toronto. They were roundly criticized for not disclosing data about the number of racist incidents that its players have been punished for. TSN interviewed 16-year-old Miles Douglas. He said that, you know, we played last year. He probably heard racist insults in at least half the games. But if the referee doesn't hear it, he can't call it. The GTHL then said they don't want to publish stats because they, quote, it may damage the reputation of the vast majority of the young players in our league whose good sportsmanship is beyond question, end quote. Kane, Dumba, Blake Wheeler, Anson Carter, and Joel Ward were all pretty pissed with that reply. Kevin Weeks said he's not going to mention the organization on the air until they fix this and do something better with the suspensions. I mean, I don't even know how, when it's a penalty already, it should be mentioned in the penalty. Interestingly enough, Hockey Canada got the message loud and clear. After the statement to TSN, Hockey Canada said they're establishing an equity, diversity, and inclusion task team that will develop an incident tracking system that will allow it to begin tracking reported incidents of racism, bullying, and harassment. I want to give props to Rick Westhead for his excellent work here, the reporter. He's done tremendous work in this area. So basically, these guys are pissed. They know there's some momentum, and they want change in this game. And when kids are getting called shit they shouldn't be called, they want to be held fucking responsible for it. You reap what you sow.
Well, the Hockey Diversity Alliance, like, first of all, it's unreal that it got done that fast. And you set the precedent right at the top. And all these younger players are seeing that. And guys, we talked about, you know, there being change and there's a process to this. And it's nice for those guys to step up. And hopefully the GTHL does as well. And they figure out the right thing to do. So, you know, big ups on Kevin Weeks and those guys for speaking out. And let's hope they figure it out.
Absolutely. Like you said, big props to those guys to, you know, putting their name out there and trying to make real change. And they're holding this organization accountable. So that's how shit does get changed. So we commend them for that. Boys, I think we should send it over to Jordan Martinook right now. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Let's fucking do it. Without further ado, Jordan Martinook. I'd like to welcome our next guest to the show, a second-round draft pick of the Coyotes back in 2012. He's currently in his 6th NHL season. It's his second down in Carolina, and he helped the team make an unexpected run to the Eastern Conference Finals in his first season with the team. Right now, he's currently slated to face the New York Rangers in the play-in round when play does resume. Thanks for joining us on Spittin' Chicklets, Jordan Martinook.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure, brother. So how's everything going? Where you been holding up all this shit going on?
I'm in Leduc, Alberta, so pretty much Edmonton. I got a nice view of the airport right now, actually. So yeah, it's been just kind of doing the waiting game, the limbo NHL. You get updates every 4 days, so you're just kind of hanging out and trying to pass the time.
What's your shape like right now? And be honest, this is a podcast where you can really be yourself. How's the work ethic, Ben?
Wait, whoa, wait, I gotta hop in here. Are you next to a bird tree or something, Marty? Like, I can hear the bird stream.
I'm sitting outside.
Holy shit, Chicklets memes. Streak. Get Edmonton with the birds chirping and the Oilers fans booing.
I like the ambiance. I like
it. It's kind of nice. It's like you're at the Masters.
I think it brings a little flavor to the show. You know?
Okay, so now, so to be serious, though, you have to go inside because I think our fans are going to be very annoyed.
I'm about to stab myself with this pen listening to those birds chirp in my ears through my headphones.
Okay, fine. I'll go inside.
Whitney just ordered 500 shit. Wings. He's so going nuts right now.
He was watching a replay of Augusta, the Masters.
Well, it's either the birds chirping or my kid crying, so you take your pick.
We'll take the kid crying.
Pick your poison. Oh, yes.
Where well, were that, you, Whit? My apologies.
No, what did I say? I think I finished. What have you been working out? Have you been eating a little extra ice cream at night, or has it actually been every day? You're sticking to a big routine.
I'd say the snacking is definitely down. I feel like we're, during the season, you're having room service dessert every night, but I've stayed away from the snacks. But obviously, it's hard to motivate yourself to work out every day. But I try and get a few in a week, and I've been playing tennis and pickleball. So yeah, it's doing whatever you can right now. I'm actually heading out to Kelowna, so that'll be better for you guys chirping Edmonton. I'm going to skate out there and work out with Joel Edmondson. I don't know. He's on our team. So going to go enjoy beautiful BC for a bit.
Joel Edmondson. I got two things. Joel Edmondson first. What a guy. I got to know him just Biz and I's brief appearance as Krusty the Clowns at training camp, you know, the tryout. The thing about him is when he played such a big role, and then to get traded, it had to be hard for him at the beginning, I would think. Or do you guys not even really talk about that?
Yeah, he definitely. That St. Louis team was so close. So he had a hard time initially, but he fit in well with us. Yeah. And he's got me, him, and Brock McGinn are pretty close. And it's we have a lot of fun together. So I'm excited to go out and be roomies with him.
David, there's a hype man. Edmondson is. Hey, hear me out, Marty. This for a storm surge. They bring out a chair, they sit you down, and they wax your unibrow in front of all of the Carolina Hurricanes.
I knew this was coming. Oh, I knew this was coming.
You were okay. So Marty was mad because I brought up his unibrow, which I have a unibrow. I shave it. Marty goes to the place where they get it waxed, and I want to let all our fans know about this process that you go through.
Man, I've been through every single thing known to man for eyebrows. I've done threading. You guys probably don't even know what threading is. I've done that. I've done laser hair removal, which obviously it didn't work because I'm still doing the waxing. doing waxing. I've done everything. It's a curse. These things are a nightmare.
You think you should play off the Anthony Davis stuff? Is that the guy's name in the NBA? Should you just not grow it out and accept
no.
it? And maybe be the spokesperson?
Mine doesn't grow that bad in the middle. It's just the tops of my arches would end up touching my hairline. So I guess I could develop a new thing. But yeah, I wouldn't have eyebrows. It would just be a continuation of my hair, which I have a lot of that too. So it definitely wouldn't be a good look for anybody.
So of all the processes, you would recommend waxing. Now, I don't know the threading one. Explain that one.
I've had it done a few times. It hurts so much, way more than waxing. It's supposed to be more efficient, but they end up holding a thread in their mouth, and then it's almost like two in their hands, and like they're kind of like plucking it, but with the thread, and they wrap it up in this thread, and then they pull them out, and it is miserable. It hurts so bad.
So it's worse than waxing.
I stick to the waxing. Way worse than waxing. Well, I've had my eyebrows waxed probably 100 times, so I don't really even feel it anymore.
So when you go in, is it like a package deal? You get the eyebrow and like the butt crack and like maybe the taint area. Like is it like where you can go, where you get a car wash, you buy like the nicer packages and shit?
Well, I'm sure everybody on every team I've played on would, they always encourage me. I got a little fuzz on my lower back, and they always come at me for that. So I'm thinking they probably wish I got that done. But when I go on vacation, I get the nair out. I get the nair out, and I nair the lower back. And
wow, that's awesome.
Oh, you are such
a
veteran.
I'm a hairy guy. Well, I don't know what to tell you.
You're a fucking funny guy too.
Little Bruno Sammartino. Well,
I gotta tell you a story about the butt crack if we're getting all right, let's into go. Waxing let's go. Here. So I was like 16, 17 years old. I was out at the lake, and my brother-in-law, he's a drywaller, so they got this heavy duty drywall adhesive tape, and we had obviously fallen into a few beers that night, and he tried to wax my asshole with this drywall and obviously it didn't work, but it was quite the process. And I wish it was on video, because to see him get into there, it must have been – it took balls for him to get down and dirty in there.
Oh, Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. Good stuff.
Well, Biz mentioned the storm surge. I wanted to ask, like, is it the same guys cooking up the ideas all the time? Do they get different input? Do some guys take part or not take part? How's that all play out?
It was – last year was kind of – we always had pregame meal at the rink, and it'd be like 7-8 of us that would kind of think of them. And then if one guy had one, he'd throw it out there. But yeah, it was mainly like 7-8 guys that were thinking of them. And yeah, it's kind of hard now because you're trying to recycle and come up with new ones, but there's only so much you can do. So it's, this year it was pretty tough to try and keep up, but I don't know if it's possible to maintain that for forever. I don't think you can.
Let's get your cousin with the tape back out there. Let's really get shit popping.
Yeah. I like the eyebrow one though. We might have to get that one. We can throw in the mix.
Well, you famously took a shot from Evander Holyfield, correct? For one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was cool. Like I wish now that I hit him once, just cause I could have said I hit Holyfield, but, yeah, that one was cool. So they definitely, yeah, we had a lot of fun with them.
Were you a big fan of his? Were you like familiar with his legacy at all when he was in town?
Well, obviously you know who he is, and especially when he's missing a little piece of his ear, you definitely know who he is. But I feel like I was, I'm a little too young to know, like, to see him fight and kind of see him in his glory. But you obviously know, like, you know Tyson, you know Holyfield, you know, like, Lennox Lewis, you know all these guys, but you don't really remember them as fighters. But, yeah, it was really cool. The size of that guy's mitts, though, holy shit, they were big.
Oh, yeah? Big paw. Yeah. Hey, you come in with the, like, hey, how's the ear?
Well, you just had to talk to him on the one side.
Oh, he can't hear out of it either now anymore?
No, I'm kidding. I don't know. I have no clue.
Well, hey, I'm fucking gullible, Marty. You know that.
I know.
Before we get into where you grew up, I played with you in Portland with the Pirates, American affiliate of the Arizona Coyotes, and you wanted to give it back to me a little bit because – and I'll let you take over.
Oh, yeah. So Biz came to our team for – I think he ended up being with us for 2 months, and then he ended up going to Manchester, winning a championship, taking my knee out a week left in the season.
Oh,
if you remember that correctly. But before we got to that point, he takes the reins on a rookie party, and obviously Biz had been playing in the National League for the past 4 or 5 years. And he remembered the NHL rookie parties everybody knows them. And he planned our American League one like an NHL rookie party. And obviously in the American League, you don't have the funds. guys aren't throwing a ton of money at them. And we go to this nice restaurant in Boston. The waiter comes around and he goes, tap water fine. And Biz goes, no, we don't drink tap water. We only drink Fiji. So we spent $800 on Fiji water alone. Hadn't even ate anything. And then he takes us to a bar that he was standing behind that bar. And he said, this is the best place in Boston, and ended up not being, I think, up to business standards or anybody else's, but it was pretty great. And then the next day I drove him home. We're in the Chipotle line and he's doing a Hulk Hogan down the line in Chipotle. I think he was still in one a little bit. It was hilarious.
That was a fun one. And speaking of a water situation, you don't put 87 in a Ferrari. And I think we can all agree on that. Correct, Whit? Talk to me.
Yeah, you think I'm drinking tap water every time? I say, bring me the nicest bottle of still water you have.
That's like the one. That's the one thing I'll splurge on. I'm a water guy, so I'm sorry.
And then there's people out there, Biz, Nookie, that say, like, you know, tap water is the best water for you in New York City. Like, get out of my face. You need a Fiji or you need something. What's the other good one?
Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen, boys. It's water.
Poland Springs. I crush Poland Springs.
RA drinks the water out of his fucking bong every night. He doesn't know anything.
No, he lets the dogs have half of it, and then he crushes that in the morning.
Well, dude, Boston water is among literally the best in the country, man. They test that.
Here we go. This bullshit. Give me a Fiji.
Okay, so your old man's a very interesting guy. We saw that on the father's trips when you spent your time in Arizona. Let's go back. Born in Brandon, Manitoba, correct?
Yeah.
How much time did you spend up there growing up?
Never. I was just born there. I lived in Mooseman, Saskatchewan I just went there to be born.
I would imagine a lot of pond hockey being played where you lived growing up.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I lived in Mooseman until I was four and then moved to Estevan, and we had an outdoor rink across the street. So I was out there every night. It was great. My dad actually was the one who flooded it, so it worked out good.
So we always like to go back to early in the career, but I actually want to go back to last season, 2019. You guys had this wild run to the conference finals, an epic double overtime game seven versus the defending champs. Your boy Brock McGinn with the series winner. Like, you guys just never stopped coming. What did Rod Brindamore tell you guys? How did he keep you guys so motivated to not stop coming all playoffs?
Well, that first series, he kept telling us, he's like, the first one's going to be the hardest. The first one's going to be the hardest. And obviously we knew. We're playing Washington. We played them four times all year. We knew what they're all about, and it was a war. So it definitely was. And for some, there was a lot of guys on our team that hadn't played playoff hockey, and for them to, for me included, to kind of just come out of nowhere, not knowing what to expect, and then have that type of series. It was a lot of fun, and I think everybody was just enjoying themselves. I think the camaraderie in playoffs, because you get the room that you get to play poker, you get to screw around with each other. It's a lot like playing. You have that room that you get to do all the shit in. It's pretty fun, and everybody enjoyed it, and we had a lot of fun with it, and it was kind of like took the underdog thing pretty seriously, and to be able to take out Washington was obviously a big win for the franchise, not being into the playoffs for a while.
Did you get a sense of a real change in the region? Because Carolina is one of those franchises, you know, they had a nice run, obviously, when they won the Cup in 06. And then it's been tough since then. But just from an observer from New England, it seemed like there was real change. There were more season ticket holders. Did you get a sense of that as a player as well?
Yeah, for sure. And especially in playoff time last year, to see the tailgate. I don't know if anybody else in the NHL tailgates, but the tailgating was insane. They'd open it up at 11:30 in the morning. You'd be coming in at 4:30 for a 7 o'clock game, and the parking lot's full. Everybody's gunned, and then they get into the rink and they just scream the entire time. Like it is insanely loud in there when they get going, and it definitely helped. I know for a fact it did.
So we're talking about, you know, that team and what you guys have kind of done there, but Svechnikov's like a guy I'm curious about because he looks like such a beast. He's improved so much, but you go back to when he fought Ovechkin and he got knocked out. Like, that was a scary time, but it had to show everyone. I mean, it showed me, like, this kid is not afraid of anyone and he goes hard.
Yeah, the work ethic on that kid is insane. And obviously nobody wanted to see that. And I think even Ovi said he didn't want to hurt him like that, but that's the juices that get flowing in the playoffs. And yeah. I think Svech wanted it just as bad as Ovi did. So it was a tough situation, and he luckily came back and it didn't affect him too bad. But he's nuts. He's like got Drago in him. I think Drago might be his dad, but he shoots pucks to, he's like kind of like Jagr. He'll stay at the rink and he shoots pucks to like 1 a.m. and he'll have 2 goals, but he thinks that he should have had 4. So he'll stay and he'll shoot pucks for 3 hours.
Had you seen him try or pull off that lacrosse goal? He's the first guy to ever do it in the NHL in practice prior days or no?
Yeah. He'd do it daily or try it daily, I guess. And then once he started, we do this drill before practice that you do. You get like a puck beside the net, another one beside the net, and then you go behind the net. You have to like kind of wrap it around. And for fourth liners, you just kind of tuck it in like a wraparound. And then for the guys like him, you try and pick it up and tuck it in like he does. But Yeah, he did it daily, and then when he did it in the game, it was just nuts. I couldn't believe it. I had to double take that to make sure that that's what he did.
Was he getting the do it in the game lines during practice when he was doing it?
No, I think nobody really expected him to. And then once he started, he was getting it like every day. And then now that I watched the clip again, it was like it couldn't have worked out any better. They gave him so much time, and it kind of added insult to injury because he slapped the puck off Riddick's head. Like he could have just tucked it in, but he had to almost give him a concussion with how hard he hit him.
Well, one of the good reasons we want to get you on the podcast, I don't think we've interviewed enough Carolina Hurricanes, especially as of late. And there's so many of these undercover guys you don't hear about. Jacob Slavin on the back end. He's young stud. Like, talk about this kid and what he means to the team.
He's just does it all so good. And he doesn't get the recognition in Carolina. I feel like in playoffs last year, people started to notice him a little more, but he's one of those guys you could never beat him one-on-one. Good luck trying to like pass one through him or sauce one by him. It's just, he's always in the right spot and he can skate like the wind. And then Dougie's done what he has in Carolina. He just scores at will. And if he didn't get hurt, he was probably in the running for the Norris. And then we got Brett Pesce, who nobody really talks about either, who's phenomenal. He's probably one of my undercover guys in the NHL. He's kind of like Slavo, does everything good, and just so hard to get around. Like, it's frustrating in practice that you have to go up against these guys, and when your confidence isn't that high to begin with, and then you get shut down every practice, it's not very fun.
Would it be fair to say that Hamilton has a shot like Austin Matthews, where it's so deceptive in the way he like pulls it and snaps it?
Yeah. He's the only guy that I think I could say I played with that takes a wrist shot from the blue line, and probably 90% of the time it has a chance to go in. Like, that's how heavy and hard it is. And even that one he scored in Edmonton this year, it was like a quarter slap shot from the red line and went in, and it was a rocket. It comes off his stick so hard.
What flex is he using? Just so I know.
Well, I shoot left, so I don't know. I don't study sticks like you.
Well, I don't know. I might be making a comeback, so I was just wondering. Because if you don't shoot like these new kids, you're fucked.
You're making a comeback with a right-handed stick?
Dude, nobody's been – no, I asked about the flex. I wasn't curious.
I think he uses like a pretty stiff – I have no idea. I'm the wrong guy to ask.
All right. Terrible question. Yeah, sorry.
Sorry.
Well, I gotta fuck myself. It's cool.
Another teammate I wanted to mention, Sebastian Aho. He's a brilliant young talent. He's not even 23 yet. He clearly raised his game in the playoffs last year when the stakes were higher. For listeners or fans who might not be familiar with him, given he plays in Carolina, which player of, say, the last 20 years would you most compare him to?
Holy shit.
Yeah, on the spot. Suck it.
That's an aggressive question.
Worse than mine.
I thought I made it easy with 20 years instead of 5.
I know. What's his stick flex? I think he uses like a 78 or 77 maybe. But he's got forearms like tree trunks. I don't even know who I'd compare him to because he's such a like smooth, deceptive skater. Like, he doesn't look like he's going that fast, but he's flying, and then he can shoot. He can – I've thought of Pavel Bure, but I don't think he's as fast as Pavel Bure. But, that's a tough one.
We're actually going to keep waiting until you fully answer it, so just take your time.
Okay, I'll go with Pavel Bure then. There's my answer.
He had 38 goals, 28 assists at the break biz in 68 games. That's a pretty good number.
Oh, he's a stud.
Yeah.
Who tried to offer sheet him? Montreal?
Yeah, not enough.
Did you take that personally? Yeah, not enough.
Did I take it personally? Why would I take it personally? I think he lost out on some money. I think he should have took it personally.
Listen, they just passed phase two. We're trying to brew up a little bit of controversy, and they somehow snuck into this 58-team playoff. So, let's actually go to the voting. I was very cool with considering that you guys got – the short end of the stick in voting that no, you didn't like the format, given that you will face off against the New York Rangers, who have had success against you guys this year. But you guys have the mentality, whatever, that's how we voted, now we move on, correct?
Yeah, it's, we said our piece on the call, and obviously we got outvoted, so it is what it is, and we'll play whatever we have to play and whoever we have to play. And nobody really was thinking this was going to happen, so yeah, it is what it is. Set our piece and move on.
All right.
Uncle Bob McKenzie, he said some of those calls, or one of the calls, was described as raucous. Is that accurate to say? Were guys really screaming and swearing at each other?
I don't think raucous would be the answer. I'd say it got a little aggressive at some points, but there was nobody swearing at each other. I feel like everybody's on the same team on the part of the players, so it didn't get as heated as some of the media made it out to be.
Okay.
There was some strong conversation, but nothing crazy.
Okay.
Well, I'm curious, you get to Carolina, and I mean, North Carolina's college basketball and college football. I saw a picture of you just looking like you were in one at the NC State game versus Ball State. I think what's it been like? Have you been to a bunch of games, or was that just one?
No, I've been to four games. I went once last year, and obviously last year is my first year, so I was being a good boy at the beginning, and I didn't want to really show off who I am. And this year, and then after being there for a full year, everybody kind of knows what I'm all about and who I am. So at the football, we went tailgating. We didn't play. I think it was in training camp, actually. And there's a bunch of us that didn't play. So four of us went tailgating and got to experience tailgating for the first time, and got pretty intoxicated and started doing Wolfpack chants. And I bought all the gear. I bought a jersey. I bought old fisherman's hat with everything on it, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. We got field passes, so I got to. I was having a good time.
Well, you mentioned your personality, and when you went over to the team, it wasn't too long after that you guys took off on social media. Given the rope you were given by imagining their social media team, do you see yourself in the future doing more and more of that type of stuff, getting in front of the camera?
Yeah, I have a lot. I have a lot of fun with it, and I don't know, it's something fun that you can kind of show off what you're. I like to have fun. I think obviously it's a job, but it's hockey, and if you can add some extra fun to it, that's what I'm all about. And yeah, they had me do a bunch of stuff in Carolina, and I think it all worked out pretty good. And yeah, I'm open to doing a lot of stuff. I was a big drama buff in high school, so I feel like I got a little upper edge on people.
Ooh, a thespian.
Yeah.
So do you think that you could jump into an acting role right now?
Yeah, I think I could.
Have you ever auditioned for anything or gone out for anything?
No, I haven't. I don't know the right people to talk to, or I don't have an acting
agent.
Sure you don't. I just
I got in a fucking movie. You play in the NHL, you could get in one.
I'd like to. It'd be fun.
So, like, what roles did you play in high school? Were you like the lead and shit? Or
I could picture you being really good at improv.
I was the lead.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They had to reschedule the one show because I couldn't make it because of hockey. It was great.
They changed the date for your hockey game. Wow. So you were,
big time. I was legit.
Julius
I was
Caesar?
Good, yeah.
Who were you playing?
Yeah. No, we didn't. I can't even remember. You guys are going to carve me because I don't even remember the name of it, but we did a bunch of different stuff. We did these things called one act, so you had two people with you, and it was just like a little short play with two or three people, and did stuff like that. I was my one co-host, I remember her name, and I actually had to remember her lines because she would forget them, so I'd have to whisper them under my breath and she would say them back to me. I knew my lines and her lines. That's how good I was.
Wow, guy.
Yeah.
That is
I love the confidence.
Legit. And you know, I wouldn't feel genuine if I didn't tell you. I've long said that actors were probably just the biggest nerds in high school, you know? So I got to call you probably a little bit of a geek. Do you agree, or was that just your crew?
No, I felt like it was just easy credits, but I was good at it, so I enjoyed it. And Yeah, it was easy. They actually made a special, because you could only take it 3 years. And for my last semester of my grade 12 year, they made a special thing called music. Like they called it musical theater, just so I could be in it again. So I could get my 5 free credits pretty much.
So you were a bit of a diva. Not only were they holding the show for you the 1 year, you went to the principal and said, I demand another year of drama.
Well, that's kind of what I felt like I fit in. If you're a diva, you're kind of an actor, aren't you?
Yeah. Did you have a rider list as well?
Oh yeah. In my dressing room.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to have like good host iced tea. I had, a pack of Marlboros. No, I didn't have, I didn't get my own dressing room.
I didn't, 12 pack of rubbers. Didn't use them though.
Some Red Bull.
Couple Cialis.
My dad drinks a King can of Red Bull a day. So he came in and drank my Red Bull for me.
Let's talk about your old man. He's out of his mind.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like give a people a background of how obsessed your father was with the fact that you get to play in the NHL and he gets to tag along to all these games.
Yeah. Well, the dad's trip, he goes all world on. He pretends he's like a rock star for the weekend and parties his face off. And he always, after every dad's trip, I hate him. And I feel like I babysit him the entire dad's trip because he's just mangled the entire time. But he has a lot of fun with it, that's for sure.
Like, son, you were -4 on the 2 games on the dad ship. Yeah, oh, dad, I was up to put you to bed.
Yeah, dad, you were .40, so I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, well, the one dad's trip, I think, Biz, you were on it in L.A. We lost, I think, 6-0 to L.A.
Yeah.
And I think when we got – he came down and he's, like, laughing in the dressing room. And I was like, Dad, you need to cool it here. We just got pumped. And he goes, well, what are you mad about? You were even.
Oh, wait till he gets advanced stats.
I had my guy. Hey, we got to talk about your Coyotes days. I mean, you fit right in here. That was when they were kind of making their come up with all these young bucks. And I know you were disappointed to leave, but just talk about your time here.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved everything about Arizona. Obviously, I wish we could have had more wins and made the playoffs and got to experience that. But I don't know how you cannot love living in Arizona, playing hockey. We old town, everything about Arizona is just, it's next level. Obviously, you know, Biz, you live there. I still have a house there. I have quite a bit of buddies that are still on the team. So, it was a lot of fun. I'm so happy that was my first team I got to play on, and definitely have friends for life from that team.
Jordan, I wanted to bring that up because you did get traded from Arizona to Carolina back in the summer of 2018. Were you pissed off when it happened? Were you fine with it? What was your reaction when it went down?
Well, I feel like you're always disappointed a little bit, but I actually got traded during like the second round of playoffs. I didn't even know you could get traded at that time. And I got a call from Chyka driving home. I think I had just started working out again, and I got news for you. It might be good. It might be bad. And I was like, why is he calling me? It's like May. I just talked to him a month ago. He gave me my exit interview and now he's calling. And yeah, he told me I got traded, and I like second guessed it. 'Cause I was like, the playoffs are going on. Isn't there a trade deadline? I had no clue that you could get traded. Yeah.
Like, but, I don't have to play next week. Do I?
Yeah. Well, Carolina wasn't making the playoffs that year either. So we're good. Yeah.
it was definitely,
it caught me by surprise, but I knew like Krauser was coming up and, we didn't really have room on the left side, so I could kind of maybe see it coming, but it obviously worked out good. I'm happy in Carolina, and we had a great season, got to play in the playoffs, and it worked out great for me.
I was going to say, you were only there for a few months before you signed your extension. Did you just fall in love with the area right away? Was it the coach, just the entire situation?
Or the guaranteed money?
Yeah, no, it was kind of everything. I felt like I fit in well. The team, it was like a really quiet team, and I felt like I kind of, obviously the first few weeks you feel it out, but then once I could kind of spread my wings, I got people out of their shells and we got to have some fun. And then we were winning, and I just, obviously the team's young, you can see that it's going to be good. So I was pumped that to be a part of it. And yeah, it worked out. And that was a crazy week. I had a baby, and then signed a contract within 2 days. It was a lot. And then I went to a Metallica concert the night I signed too. It was kind of a weird chain of events there.
That's awesome. Before we wrap up, by the way, thank you for coming on. This has been tremendous. 2 years you spent with the Vancouver Giants, and there you play with Brandon Gallagher. Could you see that this undersized player was eventually going to be making an impact at the National Hockey League level?
Yeah, 100%. He just wanted to – he would do anything to score. He'd be – obviously he's not the biggest guy, but he'd be taking cross checks to the face in front of the net just to piss people off. And I think the thing that pisses people off the most about Gally is you could punch him in the face, or you cross check him in the face. You'd knock his teeth out, and then he smiles at you. And there's just something about the idea of like you trying to hurt somebody, and then he's not getting mad back. He smiles at you. That just pisses you off even more. And he would get under people's skin so bad, and then he would go, and then he'd get a hat trick. Like it was fun to watch him. That's for sure. And then I think he spent maybe a month in the minors, and then he was NHL.
So, you know, you're a WHL guy. This year coming up, you know, as long as the season goes, as hopefully it will, the first time there'll be an underage player, this kid Connor Bedard, I think his name is. So you guys were able to say, hey, we've never had a 15-year-old get exceptional status. That's you no longer have those bragging rights.
Well, that kid's in the dub? I don't really follow
He's
it gonna that
be,
much
oh,
anymore.
Okay. I didn't know if you were able to stay up with that stuff, but I was surprised that never had happened in WHL, and now it is.
Yeah, no, good for him, though. Yeah. I skate with Matthew Savoy. He applied for it, and they shut him down. I don't know if you know that name. He's a pretty good little player, and he applied for it too. And I think he ended up playing. He played like 15 or 20 games with the Winnipeg Ice this year at 15. So he got he didn't get exceptional status, but he got like granted more games or something, because you're only supposed to play 6, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Dude, I got one last one for you. You were in Portland for 3 seasons, Portland, Maine. How underrated is that city? I think people are sleeping on that place.
100%. The restaurants are phenomenal. You get that, obviously you're from Boston, you get that New England feel. And it's the food is next. I gained a lot of weight actually living there. And, you could probably eat at a new restaurant every night of the year. That's how many there is. It's such a hidden gem, and just night. It was a fun city. We
other
had a
than
lot
your
of fun
rookie
there.
Party, it was a good time.
Yeah. Other than my rookie party, it was a good time. That wasn't mine. That wasn't mine. My rookie party, Andy Neely made me snort vodka. If you really want to feel shitty about yourself, you flip the shot glass over, you pour a little bit of vodka in there, and then you put it up your nose. It's not fun. You feel
That'll
it
wake
in your
you
spine.
Up.
You feel it in your spine. It hurts so bad.
And last thing I will say, as far as me quote unquote kneeing you, my legs were straight, and your outside your knee caught my
leg.
MCL. I think you had a first degree MCL sprain. Fucking big whoop. I played on those things all the time.
Oh, okay, here we go.
I played with no knees in my last game.
I think it was a grade 3. I think it was a grade 3.
Oh, was it? Well, listen, if you seriously think I went for your knee, I'm sorry about that. I've gotten death threats from your old man in the hallway when I was trying to just do my job with the Arizona Coyotes. So I think we're even.
Yeah, fair enough.
Anyway, but thanks for coming on, man. You guys got a good thing going on in Carolina there, and I think you should seriously consider the eyebrow wax for the storm surge next time.
Or the asshole wax.
Or the butthole.
No, Phillips Norelco, yeah. one blade.
Yeah. Yeah, right, thanks, pal. Guys. It was fun. Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks blast, so much. Man. A big thanks to Jordan Motnick for joining us, man. I look like hell lately, Biz. I can't get any sleep, so I'm wicked happy that Roman can help me out with these wrinkles. If you've been dealing with acne, redness, dark spots, or wrinkles, finding treatment that works can be complicated. You need skincare that actually performs, but getting started can be overwhelming. Thankfully, there's a solution. Roman makes it convenient to get customized prescription skincare that really performs. Just grab your phone or computer, complete a free online consultation, and you'll hear back from a U.S. licensed physician within 24 hours. If appropriate, a doctor will prescribe a custom blended treatment based on your skin type and priorities. You'll receive your custom skincare treatment with free 2-day shipping. You'll also get free unlimited follow-ups with your doctor if you need to make a change to your treatment or have any questions. With Roman, there are no commitments and you can cancel anytime. Go to GetRoman.com/barstool offer for a free online visit and start your new skincare routine today. That's GetRoman.com/barstool offer. Eligibility requirements and additional terms apply.
Wow. You're only as good as your last shift, RA, and I think my transition was better.
Yeah, you know.
Whit, talk to me.
Hey, what do you want me to talk to you about?
I think there's a new transition god in the house.
That, I mean, your segue was just right into Bud Light. Bud Light is loving that action.
Well, then they heard the read and they're like, fucking pull it.
They're like, damn it.
Biz, your old team was in the news, the Ontario Reign in California. I thought
where he won what is it called? A Calder Cup, Biz?
Jesus Christ, Whit. That wasn't with Ontario. That was the Manchester Monarchs. Yeah.
Dude, I kind of knew that halfway through my statement. That sucks. I messed that up.
Well, keep reading whatever you were going to read there, all right?
Yeah, the Kings announced that they will not renew the contract of Ontario Reign coach, head coach Mike Stuthers, which is set to expire on June 15th. Stuthers had spent 6 seasons with the Kings organization, serving as AHL head coach for the Manchester Monarchs and the Reign, like we just said. And, of course, he won the AHL's Calder Cup back in 2015 and was named Coach of the Year. May 11th, the Kings announced they wouldn't be renewing the contract of assistant GM Michael Fuda, who had been with the team for 13 years. Some sort of organizational shift, Biz. You think they just want some fresh blood in there? What's your perspective, buddy?
Very sad day. I will remember you.
About that song on the commercial, the dogs that are getting killed.
Oh. The worst. Jeez. Especially if you're in a
Christ, Whit. Come on.
Wow. Down.
Buzz Killington over there. Guys, God, 6 years. It was a good run. Those guys did a lot for that organization. You mentioned Fuda and Stuthers. Those guys are going to land on their feet. It's just, like you said, sometimes there's a shift in the organization. And, you know, ever since Blakey took over, you know, they're trying to rebuild and go in a different direction. And that organization treated me good, so I have nothing bad to say about them. But those gentlemen also treated me well. So Fuchs and Stuthers, you guys are going to be fine. And it was a pleasure. It was a pleasure putting that team on my back and winning you a Calder Cup, baby. What's up?
How about that goal that got tweeted out, Biz? You just driving that hit, that going off your nose?
Mind you, I didn't have a point that whole Calder Cup run, by the way. Did play third line in the final game, though, when we clinched it. Sean Backman, my lineman.
State finals.
Speaking of backs, his is probably still sore. But what was the question you asked? That playoff goal that Chicklets Memes or whatever posted?
Yeah, was that in the run to the Calder Cup?
I think that was my first and only ever playoff goal in the American Hockey League, and I was playing with Chris Newberry, and he centered it, and my stick was in the air. I hadn't taken a stride since I entered the offensive zone, and miraculously, it just hit my foot and went in the net. Kids, that's a lesson to you. Go to the fucking blue paint, kids. Coach
that's
Biz,
goal,
all right?
That's where let's goals go. Are scored. I think coaches say 85% of goals are scored from in the blue paint. I made that number up, but I think it's pretty accurate.
If you added all my goals together in my career, folks, it wouldn't even get you the red line. Go to the net.
Talking about coaches, let's send out congratulations to Mike McKenzie. That's Uncle Bobby's son. He was a Kitchener GM, and he got named head coach of the Kitchener Rangers. He was, like I said, the GM. They fired their coach earlier this year. He took over. The team was 7-10-4. They went fucking 33-6-0-3 under McKenzie. So he's no longer interim. congrats to him for the double gig. He obviously knows what he's doing. 33-6-0-3. That's a hell of a run, man. It's too bad they couldn't finish their season. Shifting gears, one of our buddies here at Barstool, Portnoy, El Presidente, he won a charity, or he thought he did. He paid 250 fucking grand for, you know, to watch a football game with that coward Roger Goodell. And the NFL, like, pulled some legalese shit and, like, did a background check and pussied out on it. It's like, how much of a fucking fraud? You can't sit there and watch a fucking game with the guy. He gave it.
Well, I mean, Goodell's worried about his safety, and I would be too, hanging around with Portnoy.
forget the auction thing that he won. Obviously, he was never going to go watch a game with Goodell. Let's talk about him and Keith Yandel doing a pizza review today, and Dave just phantom it. By the way, Dave is legit. He's the color of this orange Julius I was having from Trio's Brewing right now. He's going to look like he's 150 years old. And
looks like Richard Hamilton. Now.
His shirt's terrible, and he's 5'9". Keith Yandel is like maybe 6 feet. He's towering over him. So this dude telling people that I couldn't afford his place, his shit box in the South End. He's saying it was $4 million. What planet am I living on if he thinks he had an apartment for $4 million on the market that had a public roof deck? Dave, fucking clown trying to...
That's a bad realtor.
Now, let me tell you something, Biz. There was one pizza review that he did where he dropped the pizza because he was so nervous and intimidated. It was us, that pigeon. Yep.
He was intimidated. He was probably nervous because he was negotiating the new deal.
Career fumbles, one, and it was on us. That was some funny shit. Hey, boys, during this time of change, we want you to know that ZipRecruiter's focus hasn't changed. They're still doing what they've always done, helping people find work and helping businesses find the right people for their open roles. If you're looking for a job, ZipRecruiter is working with you to find the right job faster. They're dedicated to helping you get hired, from caretaking to delivering food and goods to building medical facilities, supplying protective equipment, and so much more. In fact, ZipRecruiter's app will send you up-to-date job openings so you can see and be one of the first to apply. And if you're actively hiring, ZipRecruiter will invite candidates to apply to your most urgent roles, making it faster and easier to reach the people you need. By connecting people who need jobs and companies that need people, ZipRecruiter is working with all of us so we can keep moving forward. Let's work together. ZipRecruiter.com/work together. I work together with Mike Grinnelli. Mike Grinnelli runs the Chicklets Cup here at Barstool. Let's get an update, buddy.
Big one last night. We had Akeel Thomas versus Daddy Padre, who is the St. Louis Blues backup goalie, who also is one of the top streamers in the world.
He's not the backup goalie.
He's an e-bug.
Oh, okay, I meant to say the e-bug, but
oh, he tried to get you to slide that in, didn't he?
Trying to get him a job. Caruso, look him up.
Check there. But guys, the first round of the tournament is over. We're going to be releasing a bracket. All the teams, all the guys are coming out with who they're playing against. But it's been a pain in the ass for me trying to book guys right now, because we play on Friday nights in the summer, and asking a guy to take his Friday night off to play video games with you clowns is been tough for me. So hopefully going forward, we can nail some of these down. But
we're like
the playoffs like are coming, baby.
We're like the Lou Lamorello of podcasts. We're trying to get guys to check in on Friday night so they're not boozing.
I want you to go to a Lady Gaga concert and see how good she is.
They could booze and play the game, though.
I will say I've been having a blast doing those. RA, we got to get you more involved in that, although we did do that fun Q&A the other night.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
It was fun.
I was going to say, I think we established a zero tolerance policy now going forward, where if you can't make it for you guys when you guys are scheduling the game, then you're out of the tournament, because we have enough people.
Or we just wait on the NHLers because that's who the people want to see. But other than that, what was
them by sending them merch?
I've been having a blast doing those, so we're going to keep that up. I like getting on the stream. It's like my guy time now.
Yeah, I usually watch you guys, but I did trivia with the Lights, Camera, Barstool guys the other night. I'm self-reporting right now. I'm so embarrassed the way we lost the game. The question was, what two movies did Tom Cruise have in 1988? And I know Cocktail right away. And I was just thinking of some obscure movie he might have done. And fucking the answer was Rain Man. I had a Rain Man poster in my bedroom when I was 16 years old. You know when you just got a mental block and you just fucking don't even think of the right answer?
You choked.
I choked. And then what happened too, another question.
The worst.
What year did Escape from New York come out? And while thinking out loud, you could think out loud, then you give your final answer. And I was like, oh, well, The Warriors came out in 79. literally the next question was, what year did the Warriors come out? So I gave these guys the answer to a question while thinking of the answer to a different question.
You had a tough night.
Tough night. Dude, this kid hit at the buzzer. It was 3-2-1, and he said, "It was what two movies did Schwarzenegger have?" And he's like, Twins and Raw Deal. Literally at the buzzer. It was like, what the fuck? So it was
They could have just watched the whole fucking stream by the time you explained that.
Yeah, they could have, but it was tough, man. Because we were 2-0. Me and Jeff were, you know, he's like the millennial. He gets all the recent shit. I get the old shit. It was tough. We did win the Star Wars one.
All right. Did you see the marlin that MJ caught?
What, 400 pounds? I bet he ate the whole thing like that big pizza. He said he ate the whole thing.
That guy's a sick puppy. Pounds. Everything he does, he wants to be the best. And I think they ended up winning that Marlin tournament. And I think the winning team got $3 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
Rich get richer.
He probably brought in just some sick fishermen.
Yeah.
Dude, he's fucking loaded, dude.
The Marlin was already on the boat when he got in.
MJ's coming.
And Pippen leaked the information.
Yeah, pump away with
as some retaliation water. For the whole docuseries. What else we got, RA?
No, Horace Grant owes him now. He's just saying, oh, yeah. Horace Grant.
Yeah, like we said, a few people said he was full of shit. We also dropping a couple of videos too. Jamal Mayers on Friday and JVR on Sunday. I like the people asked for them, and we gave them to the YouTube videos. The, you know, a different perspective of the interviews. You can see how fidgety and how much I move my hands like an Italian.
And last week, we also dropped Austin Matthews and Duncan Keith. So it's been a big week for the YouTube videos.
One other note, too, we didn't do last week. We didn't do anything of this type last week. But we do want to send condolences to the family and friends of Rob Andringa, who passed away at just 51 from colon cancer. He was a well-loved guy who was a Wisconsin defenseman. He scored the game-winning goal in the national championship in 1990. Later went on to do University of Wisconsin hockey radio. Also played and coached with the USHL's Madison Capitals. So part of the hockey family, we want to acknowledge that, send condolences, like I said, to his family and friends. Biz, what other goofy stuff did you want to talk about?
Eichel. I mean, he was a guy that was in the news recently, of course, frustrated they didn't even make the 2024 playoff. And I think we touched on this halfway through the season where for what he's brought to the organization, I think he's held up his end of the bargain up until this point. And I think given what he's given the organization, if not by the end of next year, I feel as a guy with his stature and his ability, I think it's fair game for him to ask for to be moved. And if not at the end of next season, if they haven't made playoffs and made steps to improve as an organization and putting guys around him, at least this halfway through the season after that, if he hasn't seen any type of improvement. Like, you know, I love the Buffalo Sabres fan base, and I know that that's a major piece in order for you guys to turn things around. And if he ain't there, you might have to wait another fucking 5-10 years. But you gotta show him something. And I'm not saying that because he's a fan of the show. I'm just saying is I think he's been patient with what they've tried to put around him.
I agree with you. 5 years, it's a long time. And he continues every single year. The numbers have gone up. How often? We need to look back and try to figure out a player who the first 5 years in the league had more points. And this year, I don't know what they're going to do with the stats, but he would have easily smashed last year of 82. So the thing is, too, that he makes $10 million. He's got 6 more years after this. Who wouldn't take this guy for $10 million?
That's a bargain.
This guy can do it all, and he's just sick and tired of losing. And like you said, Biz, it's a business, but he's covered his end. He's had his guy. So in the end, if you don't start winning games, you can understand if a guy was publicly like, I don't want to be here anymore. Fans will hate him for it in Buffalo, but in the end, if it mattered to him that much that he wants to get out into a winning culture in a different organization, then – that could happen. Who knows? It's just really hard to go through the prime of your career, and the prime now is way younger, and the team just being shit. It's disheartening to see your peers playing meaningful games and you're not.
Bingo. And you just mentioned the fact that there's been a shift. So in the first 10 years, that's when you got a strike. I feel like now Sid ended up getting one early. I mean, Ovi was the exception where he ended up finally getting it later on. But think about how many years Ovi got to play with teams where he was able to put up those points, and it was fun. the one having the opinion that I have, you always look for the counter argument. And some people said, oh, well, like, you know, he loses steam late in the season and started fading at the end of this one. And you're like, well, yeah. I mean, he was fucking putting on a show for 50, and then he's got to deal with the media every day as to why the team's still shit, and they don't know the emotional drain that that takes on a guy. Take a guy like that out of there, put him with a team where they can snap it around, and his life and job are a lot easier because not only are you winning games, but we all know when you're playing with better players that the points start coming in a little easier as well. So it's I can't even take that side of the argument with any type of serious discretion. So if that was even the word I was looking for. So, you know, all the power to Buffalo, and I hope they can turn things around quick, because if I'm him, I'm getting the fuck out.
Yeah, when you look at the roster, I mean, it's certainly not the coach. They love Ralph Kruger. You know, they don't have a bona fide number one goalie. When you look at the cap of what they're spending, they're not getting bang for their buck. You know, like the guys that are getting paid, they're not getting the play you expect for that salary. And there's, yeah, man, it's, I don't know if it's a culture. They've changed things. They're trying this. And fuck, man, you do wonder at a certain point, is he going to get out of there? Because it's just what frustrating as hell. So. We feel for him, and I, you know, we want every team to be good. And like you said, Buffalo has dynamite fans, but at what point is he just going to get too fucking frustrated with this?
Well, you hit the other thing is a starting goaltending. That's one thing that they haven't addressed and one thing that they will have to. But I mean, I think teams are now seeing the value given what they know analytically about the rest side of things, this two goalie system. And I think even given if this playoff format were to work out with the 24 teams, you know, having two guys and all of a sudden having to play all these games after not playing for a while, I think the teams that are running this two goalie system are going to be more beneficial, to be honest.
I don't know if you guys saw actually Carter Hutton, who is the Sabres goalie, just came out and he hasn't been seeing the puck clearly for the past few years. So maybe that helps, because
fucking rights.
That'll do it. That explains it.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
the story. Hey, when we were, I think we were getting bag skated, or maybe it was just in a normal practice. And Sebastian Caron, you remember him, Biz?
Oh yeah,
Trout. He Seabass. He was getting lit up one day early in practice, and Terrian said, "Like, what's going on?" He's like, "I'm seeing black dots." He's like, "They're fucking pucks. You gotta stop them." I think they brought him out like a power bar. remember those power gels?
Oh, okay. So let's rewind here. So the reason he was seeing dots, is because when you're playing and you're younger, like sometimes you're like, I would go to the rink without eating breakfast, and sometimes you get on the ice, you're like, oh, I can make it through practice, and all of a sudden you start bonking, I believe the term is. So yeah, I've had a few trainers run out the power bars to the bench so I could make it through and not pass out.
Gotcha.
I don't know, boys. I think that should probably wrap it up here. If you had any other shit, throw it out now. Otherwise, everybody, thanks again for the support. We love you. We appreciate it. And have a great weekend, and we'll catch you next week. As always, we want to send a huge thanks to our sponsors. First off, big thanks for Deathwish Coffee, who fueled and sponsored tonight's show. It's awesome stuff. If you're a coffee guy, highly recommend it. Big thanks to Bud Light with our buddy Biz. Huge thanks to Simply Safe. Hopefully you folks are taking advantage, keeping safe. Big shout out and a thanks to our friends over at Roman for taking care of our nice facial features. And a big shout out and thanks to Zip Recruiter. They've been with us for a while. We appreciate it. Utilize them. Have a great weekend, everybody.
I was born in the rain on the Ponce train underneath the Louisiana moon. I don't mind the strain of a hurricane that come around every June. The high black water, a devil's daughter. She's hot, she's cold, and she's mean. But nobody taught her it takes a lot of water to wash away New Orleans. Man came down from Chicago, he gonna set that levee right. He says it needs to be at least 3 feet higher, it won't make it through the night. But the old man down in the quarter, he said, don't you listen to that boy. The water be down by the morning, and he'll be back to Illinois. I was born in the rain on a pocket train underneath the Louisiana moon. the strain of a hurricane. They come around every June. The high black water, a devil's daughter. She's hard, she's cold, and she's mean. But nobody taught her. It takes a lot of water to wash away New Orleans.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.